Well, good morning, everyone. My thanks to Stuart and Margaret for leading, stepping in, and for Claire for putting the service together this morning. So what I would like to start with is a quick quiz. I hope you all know your Mr. Men. It's a very important skill to know and to have. So, kids, I know you've tasted the finest Galaxy this morning, but I've got Cadbury's. That's even better, surely. So if you can answer the right question, then a Cadbury's sweets will be heading your way. So we have to do these in order, because that's the way the PowerPoint works. So the top left-hand side, the yellow one, who can tell me who that is? Flora, I think you had your hand up first. Little Miss Sunshine, yes. Woo! There we go. Okay, right, so that's correct. What about the middle one? Everyone must know the middle one. Very famous Mr. Man. Libby? Mr. Bump. Oh, oh dear. That was timely. Okay, right, a harder one now. Who knows the red one? It's looking a bit, well, how's she looking? Yes. Little Miss Scary? Little Miss Scary. Yes, she is quite scary, isn't she? I nearly said it, describing her. Okay, what about the one on the bottom then? I hope none of you do this while you're at school. Maddie. Mr. Daydream, yes. You wouldn't do any of that at school, would you? Okay, right. What about the middle one at the bottom then? Tallulah, I think this is very apt for you to answer this one. Little Miss Chatterbox, yes. Okay, right. So this is our most important one. The most important one. Ruri, do you know the last one? Not sure? No? You can have one just for putting your hand up. There we go. Showing keenness. Right. Who can name us our most important one? Joshua, can you do it? Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Well done. I just about throw far enough. Okay. Right. Great. There's Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Well, Topsy-Turvy, what does that mean? Well, it means that things are the wrong way round, like we had those pictures at the start. So can you see there with Mr. Topsy-Turvy, his hat's on upside down? And he's walking sticks upside down as well. Poor old Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Okay. So in our story this morning, we're looking at, there's a few things that are the wrong way round. They're not how we might seem they should be at the start. And Jesus often reverses people's expectations of what they have. They turns them upside down. And I wonder, little challenge for you all this morning, have you got things the right way round in your life, in how you're living? So that's a challenge for you. And kids, as we go through the story this morning, see if you can spot two things. Okay, there are two things in the story that are topsy-turvy. Okay, right. So here we are in our story. Now I want you to imagine with me, if you can, that you've been transported back in time 2,000 years ago. And I want you to imagine for a moment, if you will, that you are part of Jesus's friendship group. So there you are. You're in a group of friends and you're with Jesus and you're walking along the road like in your gang at school. And while you walk along here, you're thinking about and you're discussing all the great things that Jesus has been doing since you've been one of his friends. You've seen him do amazing things. He's healed people. He's cast out demons. He's fed the hungry and he's healed the sick. Incredible. Incredible things that are happening. And you're thinking that Jesus is going to do something else really amazing. And you're thinking, what can that be? And you're hoping that Jesus is going to go to the capital city. So he's been scratching around in the provinces in places like Bristol. And now he's going to finally get big and he's going to go to the capital city. The capital city of Jerusalem. Okay, and he's going there. However, Jesus turns around to you all and he says something quite strange. He says that whilst he is going to the capital city, he is going to Jerusalem, what he's actually going to do there is he's going to die. And not just to die, but to be betrayed, to be mocked, and to be killed and to be flogged. And you're kind of in stunned silence here. This is not how you thought things were going to play out. And then Jesus says that he will rise again 3 days later. So you're all a bit astonished. You're all not quite processing this, and some people are a bit scared. But Jesus marches on ahead. He knows where he's going. He knows the plan. He's heading to Jerusalem. And then the next thing you know, James and John pipe up. Now they are two of Jesus' closest friends. They're in the inner circle. And they come and they ask him a question. They say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now Jesus is very gracious at this moment, because if, as a parent, if your kid came to you and said, "I want you to do for me whatever you ask," you're very unlikely to say yes, aren't you? Let's be honest. So Jesus asks them a question. Okay, well, what do you want me to do for you? And they say, "We want one of us to sit on your right and the other one on your left when you come in to your glory." They, a bit of a strange thing, you might say. Why would they want to sit here and here? Well, at the time we were talking, the Jews knew that a Messiah was coming, a Savior who was going to come and rescue the people. And James and John, they knew that that person was Jesus. And they knew that Jesus was going to the capital city. He's going to Jerusalem. He's the Savior. What does that mean? That means surely he's going to be the king on the throne. And if he's the king on the throne, where's the next best place to be? Well, you want to be on his right-hand side and on his right-hand side and on his left-hand side. They are going to be the positions of power. Because they thought, the Jewish people thought at that time, that the Messiah was going to come in and he's going to boot out the Romans. "Get out, Romans. We're going to be taking charge. And we're going to have our king on the throne." And they imagined the Messiah sitting on his throne and everyone being subject to him. He was going to be the boss man, the powerful king. And in those days, the king would have his most trusted advisors on his right and on his left. Okay, now I wonder, if you were in charge, and if you were the king, who might you want to be either side of you? So, I wonder whether you would want some superheroes with amazing powers. Okay, here's some superheroes. Now, I'm getting a bit older now, and I don't know all of these names. So, can anyone name me a superhero in this picture? And there are some heroes for anyone who can name a superhero. Khalid. PJ Masks, yes. Oh no, fell short, sorry. Go on, got it, there we go. Okay, PJ Masks, that's the ones that are in their pajamas, aren't they, at the top, little green and blue and red. Okay, Sifa. Black Panther, yes, I do know that one. Right, okay, my favourite superhero. No one's named my favourite superhero, who's that? Can't ask my own children, they know. Yes. Emmanuel. The Incredibles. Yes, they are my favorite. You're right. And the last one. Last one. Superman. So, well, yes, the girl is dressed like Superman. You're right. You're right. But what about the superhero in the bottom corner? With her arms folded like that. Yes, Nathan. Wonder Woman. Oh, there you go. Nearly got your mum there. Okay, brilliant. So there's some superheroes. And I think James and John perhaps saw themselves as a bit like Jesus' superheroes. The main guys sitting either side of where Jesus was. Okay. But Jesus says, whoa, hang on, guys. Hang on. This is not how it works. Their hearts, James and John's hearts, when I say heart, it means what they really wanted, what their desires are, what they're really thinking about. Their hearts had gone topsy-turvy. They'd got things the wrong way round. This is not how it works in Jesus' kingdom. Let's have a look at verse 42 and verse 43. So if you've still got your Bibles open, that'd be really great. On page 1015, 42 and 43. Verses says there, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." This was not how James and John were thinking. And the other disciples, they were quite annoyed as well. They were probably annoyed because they were annoyed that James and John had thought of this before them. Ah, they've got there first. They've asked Jesus before us. And so their hearts are topsy-turvy as well, because they became indignant with James and John. And you know what? This morning, very often we're no different at all. We want to be like those little kings. We want to be the ones with all the power and all the recognition and have our own way and have people serve us. So our hearts are topsy-turvy too. How are they topsy-turvy, you ask? Well, have you ever heard yourself thinking, well, I don't really want to do that job in church. I want something a little bit more high profile. I want to be making the decisions, directing the affairs. I don't want to be cleaning the pews when no one's around. We're the ones who want to be recognized and admired, and we want to take credit for what we've done. We want to be praised and be told how wonderful we are. And even sometimes we like taking credit for what other people have done. I don't know whether you've ever had that situation where someone comes to you and says, oh, wasn't that wonderful? And they think that you did it. You kind of smile along. Yep, it was wonderful, wasn't it? You take the credit. You're more than happy to do that because our hearts are often topsy-turvy. Or maybe, kids, you're at school and one of the teachers there is giving you a talk about bullying. And while the teacher's talking about all the bad things about bullying, you're sitting there and thinking, well, I hope that person's listening hard to this talk because they need to hear it. Not me. I don't need to hear it. I go to church. I'm fine. Again, maybe our hearts have gone topsy-turvy. Or do you come to church in the morning and you get here and you think, oh, there's no biscuits. Goodness sake. Or you see a whole load of crumbs over the floor and you think, someone ought to sort this out. It's a mess. Or maybe you think, why is there no Sunday school? Can't they find enough leaders to run the Sunday school so my kids can go and I can have a bit of peace and quiet? We can be like James and John. Our hearts can be proud and we want other people serving us rather than us getting our hands dirty and serving. We often want to just look after number one. So our hearts are topsy-turvy and they need to be changed. But the good news for us is that we have a topsy-turvy king who can do this for us and he can show us a better way. And that's what we're going to be looking at now. But I wonder whether anyone's noticed this morning, if you can spot this morning, but we actually have a king amongst us today. So can anyone spot our king? Oh, there's a few hands pointed. Hello, sir. Oh, it's a great honor. Would you like to come and perhaps sit on the throne? I think this is King David of the House of Cousins. So,
good morning. Great to meet you, Anthony.
Pleasure and an honor to have you with us this morning, sir. What can we do for you?
Well, I would like my usual representatives either side of me for
a
start.
Yes, right, sir, yes. Okay, what we need is some very wise people who might be able to sit on King David of Cousins' right-hand side and his left-hand side. So I'm looking for very wise people here. Yes, sir, would you like to come down? And maybe somebody else. Maybe we should have some balance here. We should have a girl as well. Yes, Maddie, would you like to come up? You can be on the left-hand side of our king. And I expect you to give him very wise counsel. You've got a very powerful and important position here on the right-hand side and the left-hand side of our great king who is with us this morning. There we go. Take your seats. Thank you, sir. Everything okay with you, King?
Well, after the disappointment of the last servants, I think you should appoint me some new ones.
Ah, right, yes. Servants. Okay, we need some servants. Who would like to serve our King? Yes, Callum, you can come down. You're quite speedy, aren't you? Come on. Come on, quick. Don't keep our King waiting.
How do you do?
Right, we need another servant.
I will need your advice
later. Would you like to come up as well? Yes, Isabella. Isabel. So we've got Isabel and Callum to present to you, sir, your majesty. Now, you need to do whatever the king asks you to do, okay? He's a very important king, okay? And always be polite to the king, okay? Cullum, yes, polite, okay? This is a very important king, okay? He might have a task for you, but you just need to wait there and just see. And if he does, then you do what he says, okay?
Head of staff, I'm certainly quite thirsty. So my usual, please. The apple, mango, grapefruit with a sprinkling of cinnamon on top, please.
Yes, yes. Okay, go and find him a drink. Did you hear what he said? Quick now. Apple, mango...
Grapefruit,
thank you. Yes,
usual spices, not too much.
Just a bit of cinnamon on there at the top. Make sure you get him exactly what he needs. He's a very important king. Yes, he's got his great book of law as well there. Ah, here they go, sir. They're arriving back, look. This looks like a very splendid drink. Just what you ordered, sir, I hope.
Disappointment doesn't describe it.
Ah, yes. Okay. Right.
Orange squash, that will do. Usual mix, not too strong, not too weak.
Okay, orange squash. Quickly, come on. Oh, dear.
Hurry them along, please.
My job is not getting easier. Orange squash, please. Come on, quick. Oh, dear. We might need some more servants. This isn't doing at all, is it? No orange squash. Oh, dear. Well, just have to bring what you've got. Come on, quickly. Oh, dear. Oh, hang on. Someone's come to the rescue. We might have some orange squash. Phew. Okay, I think you might be okay, sir. He's carrying it very carefully, as if it is fit for a lord. Well done, Isabel and Callum, just what he needed. If you present that to the king, you might want to bow, because he's a very important king. Right, you can take something for your troubles. Whoa! Well, I'm just nervous in front of the king, you see, I'm nervous. Right. Well done. Got one as well. Great. Okay. Right. You can sit down, you two. Right. Thank you. Now, Your Majesty, I'm very glad that you're here with us this morning, because we have a defendant who we need to pass judgment over, who's been in trouble. So, I don't know whether you can fit that into your busy schedule this morning.
Judging by the time, we have a few minutes.
Yes. Okay. Bring the defendant in, please.
Do you know this lady?
Neil.
Do you know this lady?
Thank you, security. Your Majesty, I wish to present to you Tallulah Woods. Unfortunately, she has not paid any tax to you her entire life. And when queried as to why she hadn't paid any tax to the King of the Land, she even questioned your very existence. I can only apologize.
Well, we need to reference and consult the Book of the Law to see what it says in terms of her punishment.
Mm.
I say, this chapter's rather messy. Why is that?
Oh, yeah, that's the Brexit. Skip over that, yes.
The law says 20 years hard labour.
20 years hard labour. Take her away. Quickly now, out of the presence of the king. Dear, oh dear. Right, okay. I think we need some more servants. A couple more volunteers to come and serve our mighty king. Yes, would you like to come up? And Libby, would you like to come up? Now, what's your name? I need to present you to the king. Kyla, this is King David of Cousins. And this is Libby, your two latest fantastic servants, sir.
My later schedule is rather busy. I need to have my shoes polished. Could you organise that, please?
Ah, right, okay. See those shoes? You've got to make them as shiny as you can, okay?
The cloths are in the usual places.
Yes, sorry, there's something here. Yes, okay. Okay, right, okay. Here we go, that's right. Make them nice and shiny, clean for the king. We wouldn't want him to...
Just polish away until you can see your own face. The dark brush.
That's good, yeah. Well done, excellent. How's that looking for you, sir? I think you'll find these servants were splendidly chosen.
Satisfactory.
Satisfactory, good, yes, thank you. Wonderful servants. Okay, good.
That'll do nicely.
Right, would you like to take a payment? The king is a very generous king. He likes to reward his servants. So.
Stop.
Here we go. Okay, wonderful. Well done. Oh, wow, what a busy day in court. Whew. Now, Your Majesty, I know you have busy engagements, but we have an incredibly important thing for you to preside over. We have another defendant, and this is an extremely serious offence. So if the security could just bring him in. This is Theo Cousins. He has rebelled against his king persistently since he was born and refuses to... refuses to obey any commands. He's committed robbery, murder, all sorts of terrible things. He's, Your Majesty, I know you're busy reading your comic. The Brexit negotiations there, but you have Theo Cousins here to be presided over.
What?
Yes, this is.
But how did you? After all,
Your Majesty, I know this is difficult for you with him being your son, but the charges are quite clear, and the judgment must be pronounced. We must uphold the law.
We'd better consult the law again. Page 47. 30 years hard labour.
30 years hard labour. There's nothing else to do, sir, I'm afraid. The evidence is quite clear.
Son. Go back to your family. I will take the punishment you deserve. Off you go.
Security, you must lead the king away. Thank you, advisers. Well done. You may go. Oh, sorry, Mike. Okay, so that's the end of our drama. Did anything that the king do there? Let's have a look at it. How do we expect a king to behave? Kings and rulers exercise authority over people. They lord it over people. They can boss their servants around and tell them what they have to do. I am the boss. I am in charge, says King David of Cousins. So how did King David show that he was the boss and that he was in charge? What did he do? What were some of the things he did? Yes, Ethan. Yes, he was. So he was in charge, wasn't he? He was the judge as the king, and he was giving out the punishments that needed to do when people did things wrong. What else did he get his servants to do? Yes, Tallulah. Yes, they had to polish his shoes and get him a drink, didn't they? Okay, was there anything that the king did that surprised you? What was very unusual that he did right at the end? Yes, Reuben. Yes, he took the place of his son, didn't he? Even though he knew he had to dish out the punishment, because he was the king, he had to obey what the law said. But he swapped places and took that. So he was a bit like a topsy-turvy king then. He did not do what a king would normally do. And Jesus does not behave like a worldly king either. He says that he came not to be served, but to serve. This is not normal for a king. The Roman kings at the time, they were minting coins. that could be the currency of the empire. And it had their picture on it, and it talked about them being gods. They were lording it over and ruling over the people. But this is not how Jesus says things should be. I can remember when I was at work not so long ago, and we were listening to a talk by a guy who was running his own company, running a number of care homes. And he was giving us a talk about how to run business. And he said, through it, he said, his wife, him and his wife lead the business. And he said, we have a model called servant-led leadership. And I thought to myself, a bell started ringing in my mind. I bet he's a Christian. I bet that's what's driving him to go to say that our leadership style is servant-led. We start to serve our staff. So I went up to him afterwards and I said, are you a Christian? Because I've never heard anyone ever in the business world talk about servant-led leadership. And he was, and he is. And it's a great example. And he takes that from Jesus' example of serving other people. Because in God's kingdom, everything is topsy-turvy compared to what we naturally think. The king serves the people. And hopefully you're thinking, wow, I want to be part of this kingdom. And Jesus tells us how we can be part of that kingdom. And he says he gave his life as a ransom for many. And a ransom means you pay the price to let somebody go free. And that's what King David did. He paid the price himself. He took the punishment on himself so that Theo could go free this morning. And we're a bit like Theo in that play. We're not necessarily a physical prisoner with someone dragging us up to court. But the Bible tells us how we're held prisoner. We're held captive by our sin. And we need someone to release us and to pay the payment, the punishment that's due for that sin so that we can go free. And that's what Jesus does. And that's what he means when he says he came as a ransom for many. He gave his own life so that we could be like Theo and we could be free. This is a truly amazing thing that Jesus has done for us. Because none of us match up to that. You might think, oh well, Theo is David's son, so maybe he might do that. But actually the Bible talks about the fact that we are actually God's enemies. And he still dies for us. So that's a truly amazing thing. Okay. So how can you be part of that amazing kingdom? Well, if you are not a Christian here this morning, if you don't know Jesus for yourself, if he hasn't paid that ransom price to bring you back, if you haven't said to him, Lord Jesus, come, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please take my place and take the punishment of my sin. If you do that, you can do that today. You can do that right now. You can cry out to Jesus and say, I want to be part of your kingdom. I want to be free because of what you have done. Please forgive me. Jesus comes and he's willing and he pays that ransom price for you and you can be with him forever. And maybe if you are a Christian here today, I wonder how are you serving God? I wonder how this impacts you. Are you serving him out of love for the one that brought you back, for the one that gave his life as a ransom payment for you? Or has your heart gone all topsy-turvy? And you're thinking that you're fine and that you don't need him at all. And you're still wanting the top job and all the recognition and the most high profile ministries. Well, there are many ways that people in this church serve day in, day out. And it's not just on a Sunday. And lots of people are serving in ways that none of us even know about on a day-to-day basis to make things happen here. And they're serving people and they're laying down their lives. And we want to say thank you to all of everyone who serves here so faithfully. And we need more people to be like that and to come and join the work here. But the challenge for us is, what is our attitude when we are serving? Do you sit down and think, oh, I've got to do another talk for explorers. Oh. Or do you go, oh, more people need a lift to the day center. Come on. Why me? Or can you say, actually, do you know what? I get to do a talk at Explorers. I get to give people a lift to the day center. And you get to do this because King Jesus has given his life as a ransom for you. And you are serving him out of love because of what he's done for you. Kids, maybe your parents are having people over for Sunday lunch and you're thinking, oh, more boring adults to have boring conversation with. Or maybe you could think, well, actually, as a family, we're showing kindness to people. And maybe I can get to know some more people in my church and I can serve them in that way. In that way, we model our Master, our Savior, and our King, and we give up our lives, our rights, and our wants to serve Him. And as we do this, we're richly blessed. But our hearts can go topsy-turvy in all sorts of ways. But we need to remember that we're not living and working and serving to be loved, but we're doing that because we are loved, because Jesus has already done it for us. So we're not trying to serve to be noticed by God and look at me, God, I'm doing really well. I'm stacking the chairs. But we do it because God has already loved us and shown that through Jesus. We're never going to do it perfectly. We're never going to do it all the time. We need His Holy Spirit to help us. But Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. What a King we have. A topsy-turvy King, a servant King. And our only response should be to thank Him and to serve Him with a thankful heart, because He is the one who is worthy of all our praise.